Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, more than a feeling when this guy comes on. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. Zach, my man, are you getting any time off? I mean, I know I'm demanding time, as always, from you, but are you getting a break? Because you were just going nonstop there throughout the OTAs and minicamp, my man.
Oh, thanks so much, Brady. Next week, I'm off,
yes,
which I'm pumped about, but I'm pumped to be joining you today. And man, has this off season really just felt like a regular season in terms of all the news that's happened.
No question. So if I do happen to forget and text you next week, just ignore it, Zach, because there's probably a chance. And I'll be like, you got any time for me today? And then you being the guy you are, you're going to be like, oh man, I'm poolside, but I'll call you up. No, just ignore it, okay?
Okay, it's
going to
be hard to ignore you, Brady.
Zach, I just want to prepare you. We're going to take you through rapid fire at the end of the segment. I've got some good ones for you today, okay?
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, we'll get you going there. I saw your tweet, though, and again, about 25 minutes ago, Jade's popped this on our NFL story about the Commanders getting their three-year extension deal moments ago with Terry McLaurin. You posted the Broncos got Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick signed just before the wide receiver market blew up. Could this be yet another example of George Payton being this kind of mad scientist for the Broncos as GM?
No, absolutely. And this is a great example of it, because when the Broncos paid Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick a total of $25 million per year, 15 for Courtland, 10 for Tim, those were very solid contracts for both of those guys. And then look what happened this offseason. Not just Terry McLaurin getting $23 million. And to be fair, Terry McLaurin so far has been a better player than both Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton. He deserves that money. But guys like Christian Kirk go out and get $20 million from the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's Courtland Sutton territory. I mean, he should probably be getting what Christian Kirk is making, if not more than that. Tim Patrick should probably be in that conversation as well. And so if the Broncos would have waited until this offseason to sign those guys, I think they could have got $5 million more per year each. And so those are just the discounts that George Payton was able to get by not letting these guys hit the market, by not waiting. When you know a guy is going to be part of your team for the future, there's no reason to wait. And we saw that with John Elway over and over again, the tough negotiations, dragging it out to the last minute. And then look what happens. You have to end up paying Justin Simmons as the highest safety in the NFL. Typically, those do not work out for you. And George Payton was all over this.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier with the Avalanche, with Darcy Kemper. It's not just about the sign, you know, getting that guy signed. You have to look forward. What pieces are you going to need down the road? Are you going to be able to afford this guy and then that guy and then that guy? So with George Payton, being able to look down the road and say, hey, this wide receiver market might go nuts here, it would be wise for us. Even though Sutton and Patrick aren't necessarily the top five receivers in the league, he looks at them and says both of them together are very valuable to us, especially when you add Russell Wilson. So let's get this thing done now.
Exactly. And what if John, just before the year Justin Simmons blew up, what if the Broncos realized that Justin was a key piece, maybe not one of the best safeties in the league, but a key piece moving forward, and signed him to a five-year, $50 million extension,
right?
Something like that. Would have saved the team so much money. And that's the tough thing, because at the same time, it's easy to hindsight 2020 and look back and say, well, of course you should have signed this guy before he blew up. Sometimes you don't know, and sometimes there are risks, especially when it comes to injuries. And Bradley Chubb, Brady, is a really interesting one to look at, because Bradley Chubb, he could go out this year, and if he has 15 sacks, he's getting a five-year, $100 million deal with $70 million guaranteed. Brady, he could also come out this year and he could miss a significant amount of the season. Last year, he had zero sacks. He could come out and have three sacks. Well, what happens? Well, what are you supposed to do now? Bradley Chubb is kind of one of those guys where it's probably worth it to just wait. And then you bite the bullet and you pay him a massive contract if he pans out. And if not, well, then you're not stuck to him on a big deal. So there are times where it does make sense to wait, but there's other times where it just doesn't.
Well, that's why you get paid the big bucks, right? Your job is to evaluate and predict the future, essentially. And if you hit a few, great. It's staying power. It's job power, job position going forward, job security. There it is. If you're Elway and you just keep missing time and time again, he kept missing, and that's where we are at this point. And when you look forward, so far so good for George Payton. I mean, every single thing it seems like he's done, whether it's in the draft, free agency, the trades, situation with Russell, everything so far has turned to gold. Now we'll see what happens with Wilson next season, but I think we all anticipate big things. But so far, very good for George Payton.
Well, and then Brady also with that, Russell Wilson's a very good example of this. Sign him up as soon as possible. There is no reason to wait. Look, the Broncos can manipulate the cap in order to make this contract work this year, next year, 3 years down the road. But what's going to happen? I mean, we see the contract Deshaun Watson got, a guy that hadn't played for an entire season, and a guy that on for an entire season had 23 cases against him, and I believe that was even before Moore came out, and he got $230 million in guaranteed money. Now, I would imagine the Browns are really regretting that now, but still, What's Russell Wilson going to get? A guy that's been to the playoffs 8 of his 10 years. And then when more quarterbacks get contracts in the next couple of years, well, that price tag's only going to go up. So there's no reason to wait to sign Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how that one unfolds, too. But, Zach, while we have you, too, I want to talk about the tight end position with you a bit. Obviously, the wide receiver position, we've got high hopes. There's certainly big names there, Sutton and Patrick, as you talked about. Jerry Jeudy, we're waiting to see if he can live up to that first-round hype. But the tight end position, for the longest time, it's been serviceable, right? I mean, you've had a guy that's, that can be pretty good at blocking, pretty good catch, pass catching, that kind of thing, but nobody to really move that needle. And now we're looking at Albert O, and obviously a lot of talk, and I know you're high on Greg Dulcich, to see what maybe that tight end room looks like. In your mind, is that a position that you think is going to play a really big part as soon as next season?
Man, it could. And Brady, this position may have the biggest variance in terms of what it could do for this year. I really like the position moving forward, but this year, pretty low floor, because remember, Russell Wilson, outside of, I believe, just 1 year or two with Jimmy Graham, has not used the tight end position all that often. He had so many wide receivers on this team that he can go to and use. But at the same time, you look in Albert O, could be one of the most dangerous pass-catching weapons from the tight end position in the NFL. Greg Dulcich, I really like what I've seen from him so far. These guys could be a nightmare match or a matchup nightmare for other teams in the NFL. And so their variance is just all over the place. But what I have seen from OTAs and minicamp is they want to use these tight ends, specifically Albert O. He's going to have a much bigger role than I initially thought once the Broncos drafted Greg Dulcich, which I'm thrilled about, because he is someone that should absolutely be on the field. Because, Brady, how do you cover a 6'5", 250-pound tight end that runs a 4.4940? There's no one on the field that can do that. Safeties can't do it. Linebackers can't do it. Corners certainly can't do it. And that's something that should absolutely be exposed. And I think the Broncos are going to do that.
We're talking to Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. And is that something with the tight end position? Because we're reading a lot of the outside stuff about Russell Wilson and how it ultimately ended there in Seattle. He wanted to change up the offense. He wanted to tweak the offense. You just mentioned it. He didn't utilize a tight end a lot. Is that one of the tweaks that he kind of wanted to see more with Seattle, was let's utilize these guys? And if so, is that, I mean, you lean more toward Greg Dulcich, and that's why that pick made more sense with this Russell Wilson situation?
Exactly, and that's what the Broncos should be doing. Whatever Russell Wilson wants, you get him, because he was just in a situation where it was the complete opposite. He's like, I want offensive linemen. And what did the Seahawks do? They don't get an offensive lineman until right after he leaves. And then, of course, they draft an offensive lineman with their first-round pick. But also, when it comes to the tight end position, a very interesting little nugget in that Behind the Broncos series that the Broncos did on YouTube. One of the things that Nathaniel Hackett tells Greg Dulcich right after they draft him is Russell has been begging us for a tight end. So now we got him you. So he's going to want to use you. And so that absolutely could play into that, Brady. And that could be one of the things that Russell really wanted in Seattle. And when he got it with Jimmy Graham for a year or two, he did use him.
Sure.
Outside of that, though, I mean, the Will Bisleys of the world weren't putting up huge numbers.
Well, imagine if you're Dulcich and you hear that, too. Russell wanted us to get you. We went out and got you. I mean, that's got to be a big confidence booster right off the bat.
Oh, my gosh. And Greg Dulcich doesn't necessarily need a boost in confidence. He's a pretty confident guy anyways, but that's got to make you feel good.
No doubt about it. No doubt. I'm excited to see that side of it, because I'm all for it. Like, I love Javonte Williams. I want to see what Sutton and Patrick can do now, you know, fully signed, ready to go with Russell. But I just feel like, man, if you can get that tight end game going, you can become this complete offense. And off of that, kind of spinning off of that with Russell, what are some of those, Zach, that you've learned? You know, when you hear things like Russell wanted tweaks in the offense, we talked about the tight end position. What are there any other bullet points that you can give us that you've noticed already that maybe Russell wasn't getting in Seattle that the Broncos are already implementing here?
Just expect Russ to be on the move a ton. And we all know that's a big part of his game, but I think we're going to see that even more. And I think that's one of the things that blends perfectly with Nathaniel Hackett's offense, is he is going to be on the move darn near every single play, from faking those wide zone handoffs and then doing play action where he's running, you know, 7 yards to the right in order to do a play action, and then he's booting all the way out. We're going to see that a ton. And then also, when a play breaks down, Russ is not just going to hang in there. He is going to run and scramble, and that's the Russ that we all know. But I would expect that the Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett are going to put Russ on the move in designed ways a lot more, and I think that's something that's going to fit Russ's strengths perfectly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. All right, Zach, while we have you, before we let you go on vacation, my man, well-deserved, by the way, let's hit you up with some rapid fire.
No, I can't wait.
Rapid fire.
All right, here we go. And a lot of this stuff, again, it's June 28th. Answers become more clear as we get closer to training camp. But I'm already talking about the over-under. We're looking at the futures as far as can the Broncos win the West. Here it is. Over-under, 10 wins for the Broncos next season.
Over, slightly, 11.
I love it. We got it at 11, too, Jades. We're perfect. We're right there with you. Broncos finishing first in the AFC West. Will 11 wins do it?
No, I think it's going to come down to a tiebreaker for either 11 or 12 wins, just under.
Oh, boy. All right. Okay, so on the Chiefs side, because I'm saying if the Broncos do want to win the West, they're going to have to be pretty perfect in the first half. The Chiefs are going to struggle, or have to struggle in that first portion. They got 7 games, grueling before their bye week. Will the Chiefs be, and again, I have their schedule in front of me quickly, at Arizona, home against the Chargers, at Indy, at Tampa Bay, home against the Raiders, home against the Bills, at San Francisco. Chiefs winning, are they going to be over under 4 wins in that stint?
Man, that is so tough. I'm gonna say they're right at 4, Brady. I think you set the line perfect.
All right, right at 4, like it. Okay, Jerry Jeudy for you. Will we see, and I'm not going to give you a number of receptions or touchdowns, will Jerry Jeudy do enough this season to kind of re-earn that first-round pick hype and all of that and get back into full good graces of Broncos country?
He has to. So I'm going to say yes. If not, Brady, then we can we can write him off in terms of being like a big time player. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay, and then the same one for Bradley Chubb. Do you see Bradley Chubb finally turning it all around here and becoming maybe after this an even longer term Bronco?
What my eyes tell me in OTAs and mandatory minicamp, Brady, is yes, because he is flashing that. But I just can't get over the injuries that have hurt him in these past couple of years. and I just can't get over injuries. Availability is more important than ability. So, unfortunately, I'm going to say no right now.
All right, man. I love all of it. Zach, my man, love following you. Love the work you do. You are one of the hardest working men in the business. And get a well-deserved break next week, okay?
Hey, thank you so much, Brady. I can't wait to talk to you after.
All right, my man. There he is. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. 49 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break. I'll wrap up hour number one. We'll get to what's on the tube tonight. A lot of baseball, so I hope you're ready for that for about 3 weeks. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You show us everything.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.